today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll fill you in on Travel Tuesday. It's a new extension of Black Friday. And the U.S. Senate reports the airline industry collected over $12 billion, with a B, over a six-year period in luggage and seat fees. Those stories next in the news.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20 features words of wisdom from two of our travel guru guests. Learn how people are creatively avoiding junk fees on the road and why you should consider smash and grab on some of those credit card sign-up bonuses.
We pride ourselves on being the travel and entertainment guys, and that includes local theater. There are some changes happening, and Scott Clear from Broadway Sacramento and Music Circus joins us at 11:35 to explain what's coming up.
Be sure to hang around for the odds and ends portion of the program at 11:50 when we tell you what an upside-down pineapple on your door means on a Princess cruise. And on another ship, cruisers staging a hunger strike when the stops at Antarctica are canceled.
Travel updates you won't hear anywhere else, especially today. Working to make you a little smarter the next time you hit the road, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. With the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, you can find links to our special guests and so much more always 24/7 at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, here we go into a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, that you're still digesting some of that turkey. You know, everybody always does the turkey thing twice. The Thanksgiving and the day after. Mark, how you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I'm just sitting here on a Saturday morning putting together a radio show and listening to old Harry Chapin songs. You know, anybody who's listening to this program who is, let's say, under 60 probably has no idea who Harry Chapin is. But he was a songwriter and a folk singer who was popular back in the 70s. Some of you have heard a song of his called Cats in the Cradle, which was probably his biggest record. But a lot of his music wasn't big on the radio. They were just story songs, and they were amazing story songs. And here it is, 50 years. Harry unfortunately died in a car accident, had a heart attack on a Long Island expressway when he was in his 30s. So he wasn't with us very long, but he wrote some wonderful music. So I was sitting here listening to those as I work on the radio show, and I'm putting together the final finishing touches on our Christmas mystery tour, which leaves next week. And, of course, I can't tell you where it's going or what we're doing because some of those people could very well be listening to the radio. So,
How many days of is a Christmas mystery tour
This one is five. We've been doing them for about 30 years. We go... People pay us lots of money, and they don't have any idea where they're going, and we give them some goofy clues. And the clues have to be even goofier now because people go online if you give them clues and figure out where you're going. So we give them some fake clues so that they'll be incredibly confused. And so we go out, and in this particular, the theme of this is Christmas, so there'll be a lot of Christmas entertainment and visits to places with Christmas decorations and activities and stuff like that. So it's just fun, and I almost slipped and said where we were going there. But anyways,
the probably the most important tip that you'd have to give, mm-hmm. and it can't be fake.
Okay.
And of course it is wintertime, and that has to do with what kind of clothing that you'll need to take. You know, if you're making them think it's tropical,
we give them some clues about what kind of clothing to take and stuff like that. The last mystery tour I took a couple months ago went to St. Joseph, Missouri, because it was called Pieces of History. So St. Joseph, of course, is tied to Sacramento forever because those are the two terminuses of the Pony Express. So we went, and there's Jesse James lived in St. Joseph is a really historical town. And there's some other cool things around there that most people don't know exist. So you can take – the idea of a mystery tour is to take people places and show them things that they wouldn't see normally on their own. So we're going to spend 5 days in a place where we are just going to go Christmas crazy.
Boy, I tell you, I just felt it was right there for just a moment. I thought I knew where you were going. All right, let's do this. Let's go someplace we always go at the top of a Travel Guys radio program, and that is to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, Mark's got it. What do you got for us today?
You betcha. If you're going to the U.K., it's going to cost you £10 more. The U.K. has added a visa waiver fee for foreign visitors, including those from the U.S. Everybody will pay it, starting with 1st of January 8th of next year. $10 more to get in and out. Speaking of being nickeled and dimed, which we are going to talk about a little bit later on, these are the kinds of things, you know, it's, oh, we just add $10. You know, it's not a big deal. Everybody will pay it, and at the end of the year, we'll have a big pile of money. So, what is Travel Tuesday? Everybody knows about Black Friday, and recently we had an addition to that list called Cyber Monday, where people go online and get Black Friday deals on Cyber Monday. Now, we have added Travel Tuesday to the list. So, the Tuesday after yesterday, so next Tuesday, will be Travel Tuesday, and lots of travel companies are offering special deals that you can only get on that day, or in the days leading up to that day, actually. But anyway, Travel Tuesday, folks who check this out say about 60% of travel suppliers are participating in it. So if you are a traveler and you are looking to go someplace fun, or you have an idea of a place that you want to go, then go online Tuesday and see if you can find a better price. Interesting week. We've been following the story of Spirit Airlines since they said maybe we might declare bankruptcy. No, we probably won't. Yes, we are. Yes, we did. Turns out, here's an interesting piece of news. The Spirit Airlines CEO received a $3.8 million retention bonus the week before the carrier filed for bankruptcy protection. Now, there's nothing nefarious going on here. This was a bonus the gentleman was scheduled to get. But doesn't it seem a little weird to you, Tom, that you're the CEO of a business that's filing bankruptcy, and you're taking a $3.8 million bonus the week before that happens?
Hey, it was in my contract.
Yeah,
it was promised me. You know, I had nothing to do with the bankruptcy. I mean, it just happens to coincide. I tell you?
Airline stock price has fallen more than 90% since the beginning of the year. At one point, Spirit had 9 consecutive years of double-digit profit margins. So this worked for a while. But it ain't working now, and Frontier has already made some pretty serious changes to their business model. Southwest is doing the same thing. Let's face it, people are willing to pay up a little bit. And boy, aren't the airlines glad about that. There's a Senate investigation about to start, which I think will probably be over on January 20th. But nonetheless, the Senate is looking into all of these extra charges that airlines charge. Of course, it doesn't matter whether you're an elephant or a donkey. When you fly, everybody pays the same baggage fees. So lawmakers fly a lot. So if they're not in some high category of service where those fees are being waived, they're paying those fees, and their families are paying those fees every time that they travel. So I'm sure that they hear about it. This report from the U.S. Senate comes out and says that airlines between 2018 and 2023, 6 years, which included the pandemic period when not very many people were flying, the airlines brought in $12 billion+ in seating fees and luggage fees. $12 billion. So when you think that you paid $40 for your bag, you know, that's not really a big deal. Or you paid $75 to upgrade your seat to get across the country and $75 to get back. That's $150. You know, it's not going to bankrupt you. You might be right, but who it's really helping is the airlines. $12 billion. Folks, that revenue didn't exist before they started charging for bags and charging you for where you sat. So there's no extra cost for that. They were already processing your bags. You're already getting an assigned seat and getting on the airplane and sitting down. So it's just a little extra software and a few people grousing once in a while because they didn't get what they wanted. And the airlines have been able to take in $12 billion. And you knew, man, that our friends at Airlines for America, because they are our friends. For those of you who don't know, I say that sarcastically, Airlines for America is the lobbying group for the airlines. Anytime you see that, Airlines for America, and you see a comment by them, you know that it will be tilted towards the airlines. And no doubt, that's exactly what happened here. The Airlines for America says the report demonstrates a clear failure by the subcommittee to understand the value the highly competitive U.S. airline industry brings to consumers and employees. Rather, the report serves as just another holiday travel talking point. Excuse me? I'm not sure what he just said had anything to do with what we were talking about, but oh, here's another cool part of this report. The report criticized Spirit and Frontier, saying they paid gate agents $26 million in 22 and 23 to, quote, catch passengers allegedly not following airline bag policies, often forcing those bag passengers to pay a bag fee or miss their flight. So when all those stories about people catching people at the gate, I wish the other airlines would do this, but they don't. But the people were incentivized. The gate agents were incentivized to catch you with a bag that didn't fit the requirements. If the other airlines did this, carry-on bag problems would go away instantaneously, because the steamer trunks that people are bringing on, if they knew that somebody was going to nail them at the gate, they would stop that. Frontier Airlines said the commissions for gate agents are, quote, simply designed to incentivize our team members to ensure compliance. Here we go, more BS. To ensure compliance with bag size requirements so that all customers are treated equally and fairly, including the majority who comply with the rules. Now, that makes logical sense. If I could take that statement and put it at United, Delta, or American, would make an equal amount of sense. And then when you were the last person on the plane in 34E, there would still be room for your legitimate size carry-on, because they wouldn't have let those other people carry on six bags or bags that legitimately should have been checked. Anyway, I find all this incredibly amusing that the airlines, oh, well, this is just adding value to people. Well, that's BS. What you've done is you've raked $12 billion out of us that you couldn't get before, and basically that's your profit, and then some. So if you own stock in an airline, this is a good thing. If you fly on an airline and you don't own stock in it, or have a family member who works for an airline and you're getting your money back somewhere, this is just another way of airlines sticking it to you. $12 billion, 40 bucks at a time. It was 30 Man. Bucks at a time at one point. And here comes the Delta CEO, says, headline, Donald Trump will be a welcome change for the airlines. Why does he say that? Ed Bastian at Delta Airlines? Why would he possibly say that? Because he believes that Mr. Trump will bring with him a lot less regulation. And if he doesn't have to pay attention and follow the rules and give people their money back and have systems that are customer friendly, then he can make a lot more money. So you decide. We'll talk about this 4 years from now, see what consumer protections are still there, or maybe some of these things will go away and the cost of them will go away and we didn't need them. My goodness.
There you go.
Southwest Airlines says,
America.
If you're going on a cruise, they would like for you to book it with them. They sent out a big press release last week that said, why book with Southwest Cruises? They didn't really have anything in there. Only thing that I saw that was interesting, if you find a lower price, they will match it. So I'm sure that comes with a lot of asterisks. But it means that, hey, if you're looking for a cruise, you might go on the Southwest Airlines website and see what's going on there. One more quick thing here before we wrap up. Came across a chart this last week. Came from a company called Aviation Edge, which breaks down delays by hour of departure on Thanksgiving and the days before and the days after Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Thanksgiving is one category. Christmas and New Year's is the other. It is noticeably, your possibility of getting delayed on Christmas or New Year's is considerably greater than Thanksgiving by about 25%. I'm guessing because that has something to do with it being deeper into the winter. Also, this chart really points out, if you depart on Thanksgiving on a 6 a.m. flight, your chances of being delayed are 11%. Depart on Christmas or New Year's on the days surrounding it, your chances of being delayed are 13%. That's 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you depart at 6 p.m., your chances of getting delayed on Thanksgiving are 29%, and around Christmas and New Year's are 31%. So that's almost triple. So what it means is drag your raggedy butt out of bed and get out to the airport and catch that 5:30 flight, because then your connecting flight will be early also, and by the time the delays start stacking up, you'll be at your destination. And that's your travel news for today.
And, you know, that piece of information not only holds true during the holidays, but pretty much year-round. Earlier flights are more likely going to be on time. And if you can at all avoid it, do not take the last flight out of the day, or you may not get there at all. All right, we are the Travel Guys. Merry Christmas from Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House. Rudy's Hideaway has all your holiday needs covered. They've got an in-house banquets and off-site catering available for you for your party needs. Plus, during the month of December, ooh, they're offering a great gift card offer that you're going to like. You'll like this one, Mark.
I'm a gift card guy, yeah.
Yes, you are, and you know how to count. You purchase a $100 gift card, get $20 for yourself.
Wow. Wait a minute. So if I went to Rudy's and I bought like two or three gift cards for people so they could have a nice dinner there, then I would get a $20 freebie with every one. So in essence, if I bought a few gifts, I could get a free dinner out of it at Rudy's. I'm just doing the math.
Yeah, you're doing it right. Offer good through December 23rd, giving you a truly a receive and a give and received kind of thing there. This is a win-win. Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, easy to find, with all their hand-carved steaks, lobsters, and so much more available for you. Highway 50 in Hazel. We'll see you there. All right. Next up, smash and grab in the travel industry? Well, not exactly. We'll tell you more when we return.
The cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Daddy, don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time.
Well, there you go, Mark. There's a little Harry Chapin for you. Bring a smile to your face.
Thanks to Michael. When the show is over, I'm going back to the playlist and going to listen to some more of it. If you've never heard Harry Chapin music, go to YouTube and Google it, and you might find something that you would really enjoy, especially if you like folk music and people who tell stories in their songs. All right. Of course, Harry wasn't all that popular on the radio because in that day they were looking for 2.5. A three-minute song was stretching it. 3.5 minutes was, boy, you better be a number one hit. So a lot of Harry's stuff just didn't fit. It never made it to the radio because they weren't looking for something of 8 minutes long, kind of the Arlo Guthrie problem.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, a lot of the songs that were longer ones, they would cut them down for the radio play version. But when you had a story song like Harry's, you were pretty well stuck. If you didn't have all the lyrics in there, you wouldn't have any idea what you were, you know, there wasn't a short version.
What he was talking about. All right, back to the present. Couple of things that make you a smarter traveler. Joe Brancatelli, who is oftentimes a guest on this program. Joe lives back on the East Coast. And he puts out a thing called Joe Sent Me, joesentme.com. It's a warning. It's a paid thing. I subscribe to it because I think Joe has a lot of cool stuff. He tends to be a little bit sarcastic. And anyway, this week he told folks, look, these credit card bonuses, you know, he said he just came out and said, look, just go get as many of them as you can. It doesn't affect your credit score very much. And if it affects your credit score a little bit, you're getting 60 or 70 or 100,000 bonus points. And if you can do that 3 or 4 or 5 times, do it. So one of the – he basically said all hands on deck. Just he said, I think these are going to go away because these folks are just – they're printing fake money basically and then devaluing it when they've got too much of it printed. So that's what's happening now. And at some point in time, the government is going to step in. Somebody's government is going to step in and say, you know what, enough of this. We're not going to allow this anymore. Or here are some defined rules that you're going to have to play by. So Joe is just saying that these may be going away. So if you want to get one, and he lays out a whole bunch of them. Like I said, it's an award. It's a paid site. But if just put in credit card bonuses into your Google, ask Google, and pretty soon you'll have all kinds of opportunities to get bonuses for credit cards. Be aware that some of them now require you to spend a certain amount of money within a certain period of time in order to get the bonus, so make sure that you're aware of that. Okay, other thing comes from Chris Elliott. Chris says that travelers are going to extremes to avoid fees, and I wanted to just kind of clue you in on a couple of the things that people are doing. These are not necessarily earth-shattering ideas, but they're things that I'm sure people have thought about before. Obviously, if somebody gives you a ride to the airport, you don't pay for parking. in Sacramento, that's a really a no-brainer because we have issues with parking out at our airport right now. Avoid luggage fees. If you go down to the store and you pay $3 or $4 for a small shaving cream, probably bigger, more than you'd pay for a large one, and same thing for a hairspray or whatever else it is that you carry in your bag that's over 4 ounces, buy a smaller tube of toothpaste. Any of those things that could be considered a liquid as opposed to a solid, you might invest $10 in extra pharmaceutical items from CVS, but you might save yourself $40 on a checked bag fee. Same thing is, you know, pack like a minimalist. If you don't need that extra outfit, maybe that extra outfit is what causes you to have to take a bag that costs you $40 times two because you got to bring the bag home too. So maybe that's a way to save a little bit of money. If you don't pay a seat selection fee, you might end up in a middle seat. Okay. If it's a 3-and-3 plane, then middle seats are horrible. But a lot of planes nowadays, smaller planes, are 2-and-2 across. So there is no middle seat. So why would you pay for a seat in that case if you really didn't care where you were sitting on the plane? These are things that can save you sizable chunks of money. If a hotel is charging a resort fee or a destination fee or some other bogus thing they made up, then just stay at a different hotel and take a minute and write a not a super nasty, but just say, hey, I was going to stay with you. I saw this $40 resort fee, and I decided to pick one of your competitors who didn't have a fee. Have a good day. And you'll let them know that, hey, you can't get away with this. It will not happen overnight. The needle will not swing back overnight. But if everybody gets pissed off enough about this, which I think we're getting pretty close to that point, and gets tired of it, we can make the needle swing back the other way towards the consumer. So it's just simply a matter of don't put up with it. There are some times when you can't avoid it, but there are lots of times when you can, and if you're really cheap, some of these ideas will save you a sizable amount of money. Not checking a bag, $80 round trip, and if you're on an airline that charges for a bag, and you've got a middle, you've got a seat selection, you're going across the country, that could be another $200. That's $300. That's a lot of money. If you're traveling with a family, that could be $1,000 real easily. So anyway, those are just some ways that maybe you can kind of cheat a little bit and not have to pay out as much money. These are not earth-shattering. Lots of people, I'm sure, are doing this. But think about it next time you buy an airplane ticket.
I know people that will take an extra suitcase just to bring their pillow because they can't live without it.
Well, if you're on Southwest, you know, maybe that's not a big deal.
Okay, my friends, we're also not only the travel guys. Remember, links to our special guests and so much more to make you a smarter traveler can be found at travelguysradio.com. And as I said, our name, Travel and Entertainment, we focus on the entertainment portion of our program today, bringing back one of our special guests and talking about one of Sacramento's prize jewels, that is Broadway Sacramento. Mark, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Well, Scott Clear is with us today. Scott, what's your official title at Broadway Sacramento and Music Circus?
The official title is President and CEO.
Ah, okay. So the buck stops here, pretty much. How was the Music Circus season? How was Broadway Sacramento doing? You got a big show, holiday show that's opening up in a week or so. Tell us a little bit about it.
We're juggling all kinds of balls right now. For the first time ever, we are producing a show in our arena theater, the UC Davis Health Pavilion, in December. And then we have shows following next spring happening in the pavilion. Music Circus is turning into a year-round endeavor. And we open Elf on December 6th, and that's going to run for a week and a half through December 15th.
So depending on the show, you've got two venues now that you're open to using at different times of the year.
Correct.
And there was something from Sacramento Theater Company that indicated that you guys were going to partner a little bit. Can you tell us about that?
Well, our friends at Sacramento Theater Company have decided to wrap up operations. And so their exit from the site that we've shared since our founding has created an opportunity for us to expand our programming.
Okay. They have decided not to continue their programming. You're not them, but we know that theaters and entertainment groups of different types around the country are reporting that they're having some struggles in getting people to come to their performances. Some are saying, well, the pre-COVID audiences never came back. What are you seeing in Sacramento, Scott?
It's a good question, and I think the stories will differ slightly. But what we will all agree upon are the costs of doing what we do have never been greater. Labor costs, materials costs, marketing expenses. You know, you go down the list, and producing theater has become cost prohibitive. And I would imagine that my friends at Sacramento Theater Company would cite this as the reason for them curtailing operations. I know how difficult it is to balance our budget, and what I'm finding at the box office is that sales are by and large strong, but that the consumer is under the same financial pressures that we're under. You know, the cost that they're incurring buying weekly groceries have never been greater. I mean, I just stocked up for Thanksgiving and my eyes popped out of my head at the cash register. So I feel people's pain. And I think one of the consequences of prices going up across the board are that people have to curtail their discretionary spending. What we've found is that people still find the monies to attend the shows they really want to see. You know, case in point would be Hamilton. And Hamilton is or nearly sold out. And there are a number of our shows that have enjoyed really strong box office. But I have found that the audience is a bit reluctant to make that investment in tickets for titles they're not familiar with or over familiar with. So the pressure on me is to arrive at two seasons, wow, Broadway on Tour and Broadway at Music Circus, with an array of titles that I'm confident folks will turn out to see.
Scott, I have to ask about Elf. I'm a big Elf the fan. Of course, I'm talking about the film. I've never seen the Broadway performance, but I have seen clips, and it looks like it's going to be a really, really good show. And being there at the former Music Surface facility, what did we call it, the UC Davis Pavilion?
UC Davis Health Pavilion. Davis Health is our naming sponsor, our generous naming sponsor.
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about that show. What do you expect will be the turnout?
Elf is a musical comedy for all ages. And, you know, and I think that our audience of all ages has a longstanding love affair with the film. It's a holiday tradition for many to watch. And it's been translated brilliantly to the stage. And I'm really excited to tell the story in the round. Certainly the intimacy that the UC Davis Health Pavilion affords is unlike any other venue. And I was in rehearsal earlier today where they were roughing together one of the major production numbers in the first act. And I was absolutely astounded at what our team and our incredible cast has created. I mean, props flying everywhere, and the dancing is completely athletic, and musically it's fun. I think it's going to be a delight for our audience.
Do you think that there will be more of these locally produced shows?
Well, what we're going to do in 2025 is broaden the season so that it basically covers the year. We will have two productions in the spring, and those will be back-to-back, starting with Footloose, the musical, translated from the film to the stage, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. There will be 2 weeks between titles, so those familiar with the Broadway at Music Circus season that have enjoyed a week in between, now there's going to be 2 weeks in between. And we're optimistic that's going to afford our audience flexibility in their summer scheduling. Okay. We pick up again in late May with Million Dollar Quartet, which will be a Broadway at Music Circus premiere. That will be followed by Hello Dolly for the first time since the hit Broadway revival that starred Bette Midler. That will be followed by West Side Story, which is a show our audience asked for year after year after year. The return of In the Heights, which was a huge hit for us. That was the first musical written by the same team that gave us Hamilton. And it is a beautiful story with the most incredible score. And then we'll wrap up the summer with Hair, which we introduced to our audience several years back and were surprised at their reaction to it. Absolutely loved it, turned out for it. And then we'll take a little break. We'll focus on Broadway on tour and then come back in December for a week of White Christmas for the first time in our venue.
Sounds cool. Scott, you have a job I don't envy at this point, because it sounds like that, you know, dollars are you've got to watch the dollars carefully. And if I'm listening to you correctly, you're saying that, you know, you don't want something that's too familiar, i.e. 2 weeks of Jersey Boys at Music Circus might have been a little bit much, but you can't, but you got to have things that people know and are familiar with. Mm-hmm. So taking cutting edge stuff that's brand new that people haven't heard of is kind of a taking a flyer too. So you've got to find that sweet spot in the middle. Sounds like you found it with Hamilton. It sounds like you're trying to put the thread through the eye of the needle there just a little bit.
There are no rules and there is no recipe. So what I try to do is be very tuned in to our audience. You know, I'm not only paying attention to box office, I'm talking to them. You know, I'm getting their opinions. And folks are, thankfully, really forthright about what they've enjoyed and what they haven't as much. And we try to cater every year's season to their reaction to the previous. I'm seeing a lot of young people really passionate about what we do. And I think both demographics and everybody in between are enjoying our shows. Ultimately, my job is to give them the best Broadway experience possible.
As somebody who's been in business for a long time, 4+ decades, I can tell you that listening to your customers, sometimes you think you know what they want, or you assume you know what they want, and then you sit down and you talk to them and you find out that, you know what? I didn't know what my customers wanted. Scott, we will put a link so that anybody who's listening to this and has something they want to share with you, we'll put a link at travelguysradio.com. If you've got something you want to share with Scott, you can go there and pick it up. I really appreciate your time. Elf is coming up. If you don't already have tickets, it's a locally produced show. Sounds like it might be fun and worth watching. It's at the Music Circus at the UC Davis Health Pavilion, which most of us know as the Music Circus. That'll just be our secret. Scott, thank you so much again for your time. And anytime you got something to share or an update or something really cool to tell us, why, you know where to find us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You know, Tom, as we're sitting and interviewing Scott, and he's talking about the shows and stuff like that, he sounds exactly like Richard Lewis.
You're absolutely right.
I found myself, I was like, wait a minute. What is Richard doing in that? And it just, he obviously, the two of them worked together for some period of time, I'm guessing for a few years. And Scott, when he comes across, when he's talking about the shows and stuff like that, he has the same rhythm and stuff to his voice that Richard had, for Richard Lewis, who was director of Broadway Sacramento and the Music Circus for many, many years. All right.
Anyway, we've teased this quite a bit. Upside-down pineapples. When you said that, I'm literally envisioning a physical pineapple.
You are.
Sitting upside down in front of somebody's door on a cruise ship. And is that what we're looking at here, or is the pineapple a little cardboard thing that you put on your door?
No, silly man. You can't bring who would bring a pineapple on a cruise? Besides that, after it'd been out there for 7 or 8 days, you know, if the pineapple was ripe when you left, it might be, you know, a little squishy by then. According to Cruise Hive, which is a website, kind of a fun place I went visiting there after I saw this story, passengers on cruises have long enjoyed decorating their stateroom doors with, you know, whiteboards and theme designs and magnets. And some people just go really crazy on the first day of the cruise. And you can walk down the hallway and sometimes see people's room doors that have been creatively decorated. So Carnival, however, is taking a closer look at one theme that has a very specific meaning in certain circles, which is an upside-down pineapple. A frequent cruiser who was interested in meeting someone special during a trip wrote to Carnival brand ambassador John Heald, asking him about the possibility of adding a singles cruise to Carnival's repertoire of cruises. And the gentleman wrote him back and said that the company had previously had some single cruises for women, but had phased them out because they were not that popular. And so the gentleman who was the cruise ambassador for Carnival, he said, you know, let me ask around and see. This is a, you make a legitimate question. So he went and asked other Carnival cruisers in the comments section of their Facebook page how they met somebody during a cruise. And the answer he got back surprised him a lot. He several people said, an upside-down pineapple on your door will do the trick. According to Cruise Hive, people had been posting upside-down pineapple stickers on their door to indicate that individuals inside the stateroom are open to the idea of swinging or partner swapping during the cruise. Responding quickly to the suggestion, the cruise ambassador said such decorations would not be allowed on Carnival cruises and would be removed if noticing that. So if he noticed it, so now the gig is apparently up, and you can no longer use the upside down pineapple.
Mike brought to my attention in my writer. I mean, come on, what's the deal?
Carnival says officially Carnival cruises are permitted to decorate the doors of their stateroom as long as Carnival guidelines for safety are followed. All decorations must be fire retardant. They may only be attached to the door. They cannot include adhesives that would potentially damage the door's fire strength. To see the guidelines, you can click here. So Carnival probably is hastily. You can bet there are some Carnival executives sitting somewhere in a room right now. This story, I got the feed of it in the wee hours of Friday morning. So this is fairly fresh news. I can just see Carnival people. Can't you see a dozen of them in the boardroom? And a bunch of them are saying, well, this just can't. We can't have this. We got to do it. And a couple of the more progressive people are saying, well, you know, I mean, hey.
Yeah, come on.
This could be really good for business.
This is a cruise.
Yeah, exactly. So
what happens on the cruise stays on the cruise.
Hopefully, or apparently, or maybe possibly, I'm really not sure. Here's another quick cruise story. This comes from a group of folks who went to the Antarctica. This is a 170-passenger cruise ship, and I'm scanning it here. It's the SH Diana, operated by cruise company Swan Hellenic. Left Cape Town, Africa, on November 13th for a 21-day trip to Antarctica. Had the ship's electric motors experienced an unexpected malfunction, and that put an end to the trip. So that just before they get out to Antarctica, they had to turn around and go back to Argentina. And like I said, there are about 170 passengers on the ship. Get this, they paid over $10,000. The average fare on the cruise ship is over $10,000 a person.
Wow. Well, let's go home.
The cruise line said, we will give you free, you're going to have to wait 4 days for us to get a part down here and get this ship fixed and get on your way, because there's not enough airlift out of this little tiny port that they're stopping in. So they've offered free cruises and free food in the restaurants in town for the people who are on the ship, but no refund. Now they've come back today and they've offered a 50% refund, but you have to use it within 2 years. So this is going to be kind of interesting. I guess they'll have to decide whether or not the engine breaking down was the fault of the cruise line or if it was just something that happened. But anyway, these people are not putting pineapples on their doors because they are damn mad.
What about the hunger strike?
Well, some of them went on a hunger strike on board the ship because they said, well, fine, if you're not going to take us where we're supposed to go, we're just going to starve ourselves to death. I'm not exactly sure with the common sense of that. But it did make it into the story, so I guess it had some impact. Listen, we've finished with our stuff here. We've still got about 5 minutes to go. I've got another story I can do, but it's on the other side of the room. Can you fill here for 30 seconds?
Sure. I was going to imagine people saying, all right, you're not going to take us to where we wanted to go. Your ship broke and so forth. You know what? So we're going to punish ourselves. We're just not gonna eat. We're gonna starve ourselves. We're gonna punish ourselves for what you were not able to accomplish. It yes. seems a little counterproductive.
If you're a small child, you know, you would just sit there and scream in the middle of the room forever, which is what these folks are doing. But you can understand, they paid $10,000 to go see Antarctica, and now the ship won't take them there. Listen, this was kind of cool, I thought. This is a list of 34 places in the United States. They're a little bit random, but I thought it was fun to see. Just listen to the list, see how many, follow along, and see how many that you have been to. And these truly are random. They are not necessarily the best, but this is just somebody's list. The Statue of Liberty, if you've been there. Mm-hmm. Grand Canyon. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are three things on this list I have not been to, and number three is one of them. Walt Disney World.
No, yeah. Well, you know, you don't have any kids, see?
Exactly. So I've never been to Walt Disney. I've been to Disneyland, but I've never been
to Walt Disney. I've been there enough times for the both of us.
For the both of us.
So you don't need to go.
There you go. Zion National Park, which is in Utah. Yep. One of the many beautiful national parks there. I would suggest it's not on this list, but Bryce Canyon could be there too. The Space Needle in Seattle. So see how many of these places that you've been. I've been. The Space Needle used to have meals up in the top of it. Would go around at night. You could see. You could have a wonderfully overpriced dinner and see all of Seattle.
You ever been to the Hemis Fair in San Antonio?
No, I have not.
It's like the Space Needle. Actually, it's taller than the Space Needle. It's near downtown, near the Alamo, and it was part of the World's Fair that was held there in San Antonio at one point.
One of the San Antonio,
I believe.
That didn't make the list, but the Riverwalk in San Antonio made this list. If you ever go there, that's one of the three that I haven't been to. The Golden Gate Bridge, the French Quarter in New Orleans, Mount Rushmore, the Washington Monument, the Chicago River. I found that to be an interesting thing on the list, but it winds through downtown Chicago, so I've seen it. Pike's Peak would be the third one on this list that I've never been to. Everglades every year. Yellowstone. Times Square. The Las Vegas Strip.
You've lived in Times Square.
Yeah, just about. I just had a group. Clayton just got back last night from a group in New York City. The Hollywood
Sign. They're back already, huh?
They're back 6 days, yeah. On Thanksgiving Day, they saw the parade, a little bit wet, then went to see the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall, and then a Thanksgiving dinner cruise on the river there. So that's a
did they get a chance to dry out before they went to see the Rockettes? It was pretty wet parade.
Yes, it was pretty wet, but the parade doesn't go down through Times Square anymore. It goes a block over, so you have to make a little bit of a jog. All right, rest of this list here. Niagara Falls, the Mall of America in Minnesota, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, the Empire State Building, the Road to Hana in Hawaii. I thought that was an interesting choice to put on the list. Fort mm-hmm. Sumter in the Carolinas, the Alamo, one of my favorite places to go to.
The Alamo, I don't know how to put it, unspectacular, most popular place in the United States.
Yeah, but if you've ever watched the Davy Crockett story, why then you have to go to the Alamo. The Wright Brothers Memorial, the White House, Yosemite National Park, the Liberty Bell, Central Park, South Beach in Miami, Arlington National Cemetery. Here's an unusual one. St. Augustine in Florida, one of the earliest settlements in the country. Lake Tahoe and Alcatraz, two California spots. So this was just a list that someone made of sites in the United States that they had been to that they thought were significant. So the more of those that you say come up on your list, why then the more well-traveled you are in our country.
Next week, we're going to speak with a gal who has taken her family, her and her husband and three kids have traveled to 100 different countries. That's right, 100 countries in tow with children. We'll talk about it.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Sacramento. KFBK FM, Pollock Pines.
For local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather, KFBK, Sacramento's News Radio.